الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Bookshelf, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thanks for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
So, Brother Habib, we've reached chapter 73 of the Quran. We're on verse 8. Let's listen to the few verses after verse 8, and we'll be back for the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا.
And remember the name of your Lord, and devote yourself to Him with complete devotion.
رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ
He is the Lord of the East and the West. There is no deity except Him. So take Him as disposer of your affairs. And be patient over what they say. And avoid them with gracious avoidance.
You are on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verse 8 onwards from chapter 73 of the Quran. Looking at verse 8, it reads, So remember the name of thy Lord, and devote thyself to Him with complete devotion. This is after God subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet to spend part of the night worshipping Him, because He has lengthy, or people have lengthy affairs in the morning.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Now, of course, this is the, like you could say, let's call it the literal translation of it, right? And remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to Him with complete devotion. In the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, specifically in Al-Kafi Kitab al-Du'a, there's a specific chapter of Tabtil and how to do that. When you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in various situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His servants to illustrate their, let's call it,
devotion.
Their devotion, ahsant. To illustrate this with their actions. And that is why, for example, we have in Qunut, after you finish reciting in the second riq'ah, you put out your hands like you're a poor person asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is recommended to sit in this manner during tashahhud and not in that manner. It is unrecommended to sit, for example, while crossing your legs. Why? Because it's the stance or the sitting of kings and rulers, of people who see themselves as something big. And one of the examples that the Imam put forward is al-tabtil. I hope I said it right in Arabic. Anyways, and that's pretty much there are different interpretations of how to do it. Either to put up your hands. You see how the Christians do it? They raise their hands like in surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. You know, when the police say freeze and you put up your hands, right? And putting up your hands is pretty much like you are submitting to the force, right? Mm-hmm. So you're submitting to their authority. The same thing with this. You put your hands up like that. And it is as if you are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a different way, that is to move your fingers, right? We have that in Dua Rajab, right? Where you put your hand on your beard, or if you had a beard, if you don't have a beard,
on your chin,
touch your chin at least. Touch your small, little tiny hairs. Mm-hmm. And then you move your finger, right? That movement of the finger is considered to be tabtil. Uh-huh. That movement of the finger, it's a sign of submission. It's a sign of something like you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a symbol. This is an illustration of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And as if you are supposed to be devoted in your hearts, you are supposed to be devoted in your actions, the clothes you wear, the actions that you do, how you talk, how you speak, how you walk and whatnot. And this I love. When someone who is way too open-minded comes up and says, devotion is in your heart. I tell them, no, it's not always in your heart. Devotion is also in your actions. It's important to show devotion and illustrate it on your actions.
Thank you very much. Let's talk about that more after the break. We're going to have to take a break right now and we'll be back. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 8 of chapter 73. Like you said just before the break, that devotion can't just be in the heart. It has to produce some kind of action. Is it possible to have devotion without action?
No. There are some situations where you have to keep devotion in your heart. That is the status of taqiyyah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is available in the Quran. Ammar ibn Yasir did it. When the Qurayshis came and wanted to kill him and told them to believe in our idol or state the name of our idol, he stated the name of the idol.
Mm-hmm.
But his love and passion and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was still in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we have that even in the Shia school of thought. We get talked a lot about taqiyyah, and they use taqiyyah a lot. Understand what is taqiyyah and why we use it and when we use it. Okay, sometimes devotion has to stay in the heart. Sometimes it goes on the actions. Even like today, I forgot my mahbas or my ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like wearing a ring is one of the signs of devotion, right? Mm-hmm. It really goes back to that. The way that you walk, the way that you talk, and the way that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show your devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also in the actions. Prostration is considered to be one of the best illustrations of devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest a person can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is during his prostration.
Mm-hmm. So devotion needs to be, like you put it very nicely, illustrated. By actions.
Yes.
Moving on to verse 9. Lord of the East and the West, there is no God but He, so take Him as a guardian.
This is very important for me. To understand the polytheism available at the time, to understand what the meaning of mushrik was during the time. Mushrik does not always have to be man khalaqa, who created. The mushrik also believes in that who is running the show, let's call it. Who is the all-powerful? Who is the Rabb? Who is the Lord? Who is making the sun go up and down? Who is the one that's causing day and night to come? Who is the one that is making the plants grow and come back to life? Who is the one that's going to bring us back to life? Who is the one that gave us this power to move? Who is the one that is keep on giving us this power to move? For without His power, we are unable to move. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Masharik wal Maghrib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the East and the West. And Arabs usually, because the Quran came in what language, Hussein?
Arabic.
Ahsant. So the language that the Arabs spoke, when they want to say everyone and everything and everywhere, they would say Al-Mashraq wal Maghrib.
East and West.
East and West. Everywhere is East and West,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Lord of everywhere and everything, the Lord of everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that you should be fearing and you should be putting your trust towards. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Let your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be your trustworthy.
The only person you can rely on, truly rely on, is Allah God subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Even if you have no family, this is really, I feel this from the heart sometimes. Even if you have no family, no loved ones, nothing, it's just you You know you could rule the world. You know you could take over the world. You know you could fight any challenge as long as you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite is the same. If you have the most family, the most wealth, the most power, the most. Even if you had the entire world following you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not standing with you, you have not entrusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are like the web of the spider. Mm-hmm. One blow blows it away.
Thank you very much. There's a lot to learn from the Quran. Let's take a break right now and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is the last part of today's Quran Quest show. Verse 10 of chapter 73 reads, "Bear patiently that which they say and take leave of them in a beautiful manner." I think the meaning is clear, but we need some context about this verse.
Exactly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was hurt very much. The status of the Prophet was very high, even before he became a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was considered to be the trustworthy, as-sadiq al-ameen, truthworthy. He was well respected by his people and loved, and you know, he had high morals and everything. Then because of his mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated him, this heavy mission that he had on his shoulders, which also needed aid from Amir al-Mu'mineen, as we stated there was also aid provided from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to be helped with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, right? And at the end of the day, he was one of those figures that was respected. Now all of a sudden he is getting bashed and hurt. There's this saying, it's available in Al-Khisal, it's also available in Al-Kafi, it's available in Qurb al-Isnad as well. It mentions that, have mercy for three. Aziz and Zul. Mm-hmm. A person well respected,
who is now considered ignoble, disrespected.
Yes. Or a rich man has become poor. Mm. And a jahil, or someone who, or an alim, a person scholar, with knowledge, a scholar, living between
ignorant people,
right? There are different, you know, words to it, different formulas to the saying available in different narrations, but this meaning is there, that you are well respected, all of a sudden you're hated. You're considered an outcast. Mm-hmm. By whom? Your own people. Not only your own people, your uncle,
family. Mm-hmm.
Your family, your bloodline. These people share the same blood as you. They're casting you out, making people make fun of you, hurting you, denying you your rights. It hurts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, have patience. Have patience on what they say. Leave them.
Since this was coming, as we said, that this chapter was revealed at the early times of the Prophet's appointment, could this also be meaning about like the first parts that the Prophet was talking?
Yes, it is. It is. It's very clear. Like at the beginning, it's uspur. At the beginning, it's uspur. Have patience.
Have patience.
Then there comes a time where you have to take out your sword.
Is this also a role model for Muslims to treat other people who disbelieve?
Depending on the situation. You cannot make it as a general guideline. There are some situations where Islam or your religion, your beliefs come into, they become in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes an obligation to defend it. There's mm-hmm. no such thing as staying quiet. And some situations, of course, we do hear a lot of bashings, and alhamdulillah, Shias went through it a lot, even from the beginning of time of Shias. Unlike Muslims, where they used to live in, you know,
unity.
Until the Ottoman Empire, the current day, they might go to, for example, the States, or they might go to British countries or European countries where they might see some racism towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Shias have been living a lot of hell throughout their lives because they have been always the smaller sect, discriminated sect. And they are used to it. And see how the Imam alayhi wasalam treated. Yes, the Imam alayhi wasalam, the moral guideline is to what? To have patience. All stay right. quiet. But when you have sutwa, when you have power, it becomes a different story. There are different situations. For example, Muslims allowing non-Muslims to come into the country and try to bring in their own culture and removing the culture that that the Prophet ﷺ brought and fought for, and the Muslims and the Sahabis all died for the sake of it, and tried to erase it with a couple of years and a couple of days, maybe. Anyways,
thank you very much, Brother Habib. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have, but we'll be here next week as well, inshallah. If you missed this episode, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and the previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.